Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Friday class, December 27th, 2024, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. There are several excellent passages that describe Christmas, but I believe that Isaiah 9 presents the unique fact that the Messiah is the greatest miracle that this world will ever know, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, hypostatic union, undiminished deity and true humanity in one person forever, the unique person of the universe. That's why I teach over and over that he is the miracle Messiah, the unique person of the universe, hypostatic union, undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. So what took place on that very first Christmas was the greatest miracle this world will ever know. Now, most of the world doesn't care, doesn't even want to know. But whether they do or not, it still is the greatest miracle this world will ever know. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the indescribable gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you gave to us on that very first Christmas. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Christmas is about God's indescribable gift of His Son. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. At Christmas, we celebrate God's gift of love. Love to the whole world. His impersonal love for all mankind. Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah. For God loved the world so much with infinite impersonal love for all that he gave his uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God delivered the gift of love, his Son, in Bethlehem on that very first Christmas, Micah 5, verse 2. That very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that the world will ever know, was prophesied 700 years before. 700 years before the incarnation and virgin birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And it was prophesied by two contemporaries, Micah and Isaiah. Micah 5:2, Isaiah 7:14, and perhaps one of the greatest prophetic passages, Isaiah 9, verse 6, describing this greatest of all miracles, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, the miracle Messiah in hypostatic union. Isaiah 9, 6 begins, because a child has been born for us, a son has been given for us. The first phrase, a child has been born for us, emphasizes three things: the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, the virgin conception and birth of the Messiah, and the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It also emphasizes the fact that the Messiah, in his true humanity, will be a son of David. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, Jeremiah 33, 15 and 16. And then the second phrase, a son has been given for us, emphasizes the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. It emphasizes the deity of Jesus Christ. It emphasizes the fact that the Messiah is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. The child to be born is the eternal Son of God. And therefore, together, these phrases present the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is undiminished deity and true humanity, united in one person forever. And therefore, he is the unique person of the universe, and therefore, he is the miracle Messiah. Because a child has been born for us, a son has been given for us. That's the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next line, and the government will be on his shoulders, that's the second advent of the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ. At the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom on earth. And then he will rule the entire world. Not only will Jesus Christ be the ruler of the world, but the entire responsibility of justice and righteousness in the administration of government rests totally upon his shoulders. The child is to be the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. In our passage, Isaiah 9:6, we also have four characteristics of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ. They are in the name that's attributed to him. And he will be called Pele Yoetz, that is Miracle Counselor, Wonder Counselor, El Givor, Mighty Omnipotent God, Avi Av, Eternal Father, Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. The first characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ is that of Miracle Counselor or Wonder Counselor. Pele Yoetz, Jesus Christ, the unique person of the universe, is the God-man, the Miracle Counselor, the Wonder Counselor. The Lord Jesus Christ is absolute truth. He is the sum total of wisdom and knowledge, and therefore he is the perfect ruler, advisor, counselor. To sit upon the throne of David as the messianic King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to rule the entire world in the millennium, requires wisdom and knowledge that no mere man possesses. The Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Miracle Counselor, the Wonder Counselor, and therefore he will perfectly rule all, not one nation, all the nations of the world in the millennial kingdom. Jesus Christ is absolute truth. He is the possessor and expounder of the truth. He is the possessor of all wisdom and all knowledge. Jesus Christ in his person and in his thinking. His thinking is the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. He is the perfect solution and answer to every question and problem or adversity or circumstance that you will ever face in time as a believer. And therefore, the only counselor that the believer needs is the Miracle Counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Wonder Counselor, Jesus Christ, counsels and advises the believer through the mind of Christ, his thinking, the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 2:16. And therefore, if the Word of God is taught consistently and faithfully by the faithful pastor, and today in our society that's rare, but if the Word of God is taught consistently and faithfully by the faithful pastor, and if believers are also consistent and faithful in assembling to receive the teaching of Bible doctrine, assembling with positive volition and humility, then there would be no need for counseling by the pastor. The pastor teacher teaches the Word of God, the mind of Christ, to a group of believers. And then the Wonder Counselor, the Miracle Counselor, Jesus Christ, counsels that believer through his thinking, metabolize doctrine in the believer's heart. The second characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ is El Givor, the mighty, omnipotent God. Jesus Christ is the mighty, omnipotent God. And the second characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ also teaches that Jesus Christ is the greatest soldier of all time. A part of the celebrityship of the Messiah is that he is the greatest soldier of all time, Psalm 24:8-10, and we saw that last time. The Lord Jesus Christ holds the record for killing the enemy in war. 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night, Isaiah 37:36. But the Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ will break that record when he returns at the second advent, Revelation 19:11-21, and we ended with that last night. Now we go to the third characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ, and there's two parts to this. We have the everlasting Father. Now this is confusing for a lot of people because I thought he was the Son, and now he's called the Father. What is he? Is he the Father or is he the Son? Well, he is the eternal Son of God, but this is a very, very powerful characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Father, the everlasting Father. So there's two parts to this. First of all, the eternity of the miracle Messiah. First, the eternity of the miracle Messiah, and second, he, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as a Father. Now this is beautiful. I love this third characteristic, one of my favorite of all of the four characteristics given here. In the Hebrew, we have Avi Av. So Avi, that's Aleph, A, B, long I, and Av, Ayin, A, D, Avi, Av. Everlasting is the noun Av. Av means perpetuity or continual existence. Av emphasizes the eternity of Jesus Christ as the miracle Messiah. Jesus Christ is the eternal God. He is eternal life. And that means there never has been a time when Jesus Christ did not exist. And there never will be a time in the future when he will not exist. Turn over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Jesus Christ describes himself. Revelation 1 verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So one, Jesus Christ has no beginning and no ending. No beginning and no ending. Two, he is absolute existence. He is the self-existing one. He is the great I am. Turn over to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. So Jesus Christ is absolute existence, the self-existing one, the great I am. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God said to Moses, now you might have something like, I am who I am. This literally says in the Hebrew, I am the eternally existing one. I am the eternally existing one. And this is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. The eternally existing one has sent me to you. Three. Jesus Christ is the true God, the living God, and the eternal King. Jesus Christ is the true God, the living God, and the eternal King. Turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10, verse 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God. He is the eternal King. And then he adds something else. When he's angry, the earth trembles. That's the function of the integrity of the Lord Jesus Christ, absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And the nations cannot endure his wrath. Four. Jesus Christ does not possess life. He is life. He is the living and true God. So Jesus Christ does not possess life. He is life. He is the living and true God. Five, the eternal life of God is given as a gift to everyone who simply believes in Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah, and the only Savior. The eternal life of God is given as a gift. A gift. That means you don't work for it. It's by grace to everyone who simply believes in Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah. John 3:16, God loved the world so much he gave his uniquely born son that whosoever believes in him shall never perish but have eternal life. 1 John 5:11 to 13, John 3:36, Ephesians 2:8 and 9 all confirm this again and again. 6. However, the unbeliever does not have the eternal life of God. John 3:36. The unbeliever does not have the eternal life of God. John 3:36. Seven. We have eternal life at the moment of salvation, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Eight, the third characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ, that he is the everlasting Father, first of all emphasizes the eternity of Jesus Christ. The third characteristic of the celebrityship of Christ, that he is the everlasting Father, first of all emphasizes the eternity of Jesus Christ. Turn over to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world. So here, who is the creator of the universe? The Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. From everlasting to everlasting, you, the creator of the universe, you are God. Everlasting to everlasting. The eternity of Jesus Christ. Turn over to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. Starting at verse 25. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, the omnipotent, all-powerful God who created the universe. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth. And the heavens are the work of your hands, the Lord Jesus Christ. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The eternal living God. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The eternity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah. So that's the first part of this third characteristic. Now the second part is the word Avi, Father. From Av, Father. So in this third characteristic of the celebrityship of the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, we not only have the eternity of the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized, but we also have a very important characteristic of the miracle Messiah, that he is an eternal Father. An eternal Father, and this is putting the spotlight on the grace and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah, to his people. The grace and compassion of the miracle Messiah to his people. The word Father is the noun Av. And when Av is used of man, it refers to the human father of a child. However, when Av is used of God, it has a totally different meaning and emphasis. So, let me show you the word Av, first of all. Aleph. A-B, Av. It's the word Father. So, one. (clears throat) in relationship to God of the word Father emphasizes the grace policy of God to mankind. The grace policy of God to mankind. That's what the spotlight is on here in this third characteristic, eternal Father. The spotlight is on the grace policy of God. Two, in relationship to the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, it emphasizes the grace function and compassion of the King, our Redeemer. It emphasizes the grace function and compassion of the King, our Redeemer. Three, as the Father has compassion on His children, so the miracle Messiah has compassion on those who fear Him. As the Father has compassion on His children, so the miracle Messiah has compassion on those who fear Him. Turn over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 13. Psalm 103, verse 13. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so also the Lord, Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah, has compassion on those who fear him. Psalm 103, verse 13. Just as the Father has compassion on His children, so also the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Four. As a shepherd graciously provides for and protects and cares for his sheep, so also the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, provides for, protects, and cares for his sheep with grace and compassion. Just as the shepherd graciously provides for, protects, and cares for his sheep, so also the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, provides for, protects, and cares for his sheep with grace and compassion. Turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Now I've taught Psalm 23, taught it in great detail. And I'm kind of considering going in and getting my knees done. And if I do, well, you're going to hear Psalm 23 will be played till I get my patootie back up here. See? So I don't think you can get this psalm and the teaching of this psalm too many times. Psalm 23. This is the human author is David, a spiritually mature winner believer. The Lord, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You, the Lord Jesus Christ, my shepherd, You are with me. Now I want you to see this. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Now there's two things here. Your rod is discipline, punishment, and that's grace. That's grace. Discipline from the Lord is grace. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. So the rod is discipline. Your rod, but notice how the winner believer is comforted when the Lord takes the time to discipline him. The rod is discipline. The staff is blessing. That's protection. So we have discipline and we have blessing. Punishment and protection. And for the winner believer, they both comfort the winner believer. The winner believer does not react to being disciplined by the Father. He realizes the Father is taking that time to discipline him because he loves him. And he doesn't want to see you crash and burn. God doesn't want to see you crash and burn. You make bad decisions after bad decisions after bad decisions, you will crash and burn. God doesn't want to see that. So he takes the rod out and he disciplines you. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. In fact, mastigao is the Greek. He skins alive with a whip because he loves you and he wants to bless you. He wants to see you. He doesn't want you to fall off the cliff. He doesn't want you to crash and burn. He wants to bless you, bless you, bless you. That's God's plan for you, to bless you and keep blessing you and keep blessing you greater and greater and greater. So we have two parts here. A rod, discipline, a staff, protection and blessing. And for the winner believer, both of them are a comfort. I realize that. I never appreciated all the discipline I got when I was at home growing up, but I was an unbeliever. Then I placed my faith in Jesus Christ, and God guided me to Washington State University and a local church there, Bethany Bible Church. And he guided me into that church, and I grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And as I grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, I began to learn passages like Hebrews 12, 5 and following. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And then in that illustration is just as a human father disciplines you, our heavenly Father disciplines you. And that's the first time it really sunk in. And so I wrote my father a long letter. And I thanked him. Dad, thank you for all the time you took me and spanked me, disciplined me. I know you did it because you love me. And I just wanted to say thank you for all that time you spent disciplining me as I was growing up. And I didn't appreciate it as a kid, but boy, in college, after I grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and learned the Word of God, I appreciated it. That's what he's saying here. So you see, grace is also involved in discipline. That's grace discipline. Grace discipline and grace blessing. And that's the function here of the grace function of the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ. Your rod, discipline, and your staff, protection and blessing, they both comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows, overflowing with greater grace blessing. Surely goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, point four again, just as a shepherd graciously provides for, protects, and cares for his sheep, so also the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, provides for, protects, and cares for his sheep with grace and compassion. Psalm 23. Point five. Therefore, the term of emphasizes the grace orientation and grace function and grace policy of our Lord Jesus Christ in his dealing with mankind. Therefore, the term of emphasizes the grace orientation and grace function and grace policy of our Lord Jesus Christ in his dealing with mankind. Six, Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah, is an eternal Father. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ eternally functions by grace and compassion toward his people. Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah, is an eternal Father. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ eternally functions by grace and compassion toward his people. Seven. Now and forever, he guards his people and supplies their needs in grace, like a father to his children and like a shepherd to his sheep. Now and forever, he guards his people and supplies their needs in grace, like a father to his children and like a shepherd to his sheep. And then that brings us to the fourth characteristic in this great passage. Fourth characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Sar Shalom. All right, now, I said Sar, and I said Shalom. And you see the same letter, but notice the little doggish here is on the left side. That's an S, Sar. Here it's on the right side. That's a sheen, Shalom. So, Sar, Shalom. So you see, you better have good eyes when you're studying Hebrew. You have to have great eyes. And, it was a while back, you know I love to hunt, and I was out sighting in my rifle so I could go hunting. I couldn't, the target was blurry and fuzzy, and I couldn't sight in my rifle. Ticked me off. I went to the doctor, and he goes, "Oh, you have cataracts." I said, "No, I have a Hummer, not a cataract." I'm glad you got that one. "You have cataracts." He says, "Here's, they're not quite covering everything. When they get completely covered, this is what we'll cut them off, put a lens in there. We'll just put a lens in your eye, and then you'll be able to see fine." I said, "Okay, but we've got to wait for those cataracts to grow." I said, "All right." Well, I wanted to go hunting. I had a hunting magazine, and I had an article in there, and I'm reading this article. He says, "Are you having trouble sighting in your rifle?" I go, "Yes. Yes, I am." "Well, then this is what you need." And I know some of you think it's Cloroxin. It's Clarizan. And it's a red, it's about Clarizan. It says, "You get this and it'll improve your eyesight." So I said, "Well, hell, I'm going to order that. I'm not going to wait till all the cataracts get to the right place." So I ordered it, got it, started taking it. I noticed the difference right away. I mean, I go, "Wow." The green lights were green and the red lights were red, more red. And I took it for a month or two and then went back to the doctor and I said, "Well, how are the cataracts doing?" He goes, "You don't have any cataracts anymore." I go, "I don't? No." And he says, "Whatever you're doing, keep doing it." "Yes, sir." Well, I've been taking Clarizan ever since that time, and I still don't have any cataracts. And you see, being able to see is very important when you're studying. Just look, you got to study the Hebrew. You got all these little dots, and you got to see that and know that. You can't be, what does that say? So here is Sar, S-A-R. Here is Shalom, S-H-A-L, long O-M. Sar, Shalom. Sar is the Hebrew noun for a chieftain, a chief, a ruler, a captain, a general, a prince. And then Shalom, well, Shalom is means completeness and wholeness and soundness and health and welfare and prosperity and peace. It's blessing and prosperity in its widest sense. That's Shalom. It has a Greek equivalent, Eirene. So the fourth characteristic of the celebrityship of the Messiah is that the miracle Messiah is the Prince of Peace. Now, you always see and hear during this time, and the people send you Christmas cards, "Peace on Earth." Well, there will be peace on Earth, but not until the Prince of Peace returns at the second advent. There will never be peace on earth until the Prince of Peace returns. When the Prince of Peace returns at the second advent, establishes his kingdom on this earth, there will be world peace. In fact, man won't even learn war anymore. No more army, navy. And how about Navy? They won again today. But you know what I love about Army and Navy and Air Force? None of them are looking for NIL or transfer to another college. No, they're not going to the military academy for money. They have honor and virtue. And they're not transferring, going into the transfer portal. No, they're men with virtue and honor and integrity. I love the military and the all of the, whether it's football or whatever it is. Great. It's a fun day to see Navy win that game. And they won the Commander-in-Chief trophy. Ooh. Air Force, they're still up there, I think, maybe ahead by one or two, but look out. Now, my father was Army. I was pulling for Army all year long. But they have a very excellent team as well. But I'll tell you what, this Blake Horvath, that guy is one hell of a quarterback. Blake Horvath. It was 14-0. They were losing. He ran 95 yards for the first touchdown for Navy. Whoa! And then they wound up winning the whole game. So, all of this, I'm not even going to charge you anything extra for any of that. So let's take a look at the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, the Miracle Messiah, and World Peace. The Prince of Peace and World Peace. One, since the Messiah is the Prince of Peace, he is the only one who will bring about world peace on planet Earth. The only one. Since the Messiah is the Prince of Peace, he is the only one who will bring about world peace. Two, there will be no world peace until the Prince of Peace returns at the second advent to establish his kingdom on earth. There will be no world peace until the Prince of Peace, the Messiah, returns at the second advent to establish his kingdom on earth. Three, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, warned us that there will be wars and rumors of wars, hot wars and cold wars, until he returns. He warned us, but then how many people listen to the study of the Bible and the warnings from the Lord Jesus Christ? He warned us that there will be wars and rumors of wars, hot wars and cold wars, until he returns at the second advent to establish his kingdom on earth. Turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, starting at verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming, the second advent, and of the end of the age? Verse 4. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming that I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, hot wars and cold wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise up against nation. Well, that's going on all over planet Earth right now. And kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pains. 4. The reversionist is constantly seeking world peace, trying to produce world peace without the Prince of Peace. The reversionist is constantly seeking world peace, trying to produce world peace when there is no peace. And we studied that in Ezekiel 13, 8 to 10, Jeremiah 6, 13 and 14, Jeremiah 8, 10 and 11. We've seen that and studied that. 5. Therefore, today, in the church age, for the client nation to God, client nation USA, for us to have peace, then we must have the greatest prepared and trained military in the world. For the United States of America to have peace, we must have the greatest prepared and trained military in the world. Because there's going to be hot wars and cold wars until Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, returns. And this is a we need to totally understand. And we have liberalism, socialists, and socialists are nothing less than communists. The communists came close to destroying this nation before another president came to power. And his name was Ronald Reagan. Now we're going to have communion on New Year's Eve. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, communion. Followed by a movie. It is a great movie. True. Absolute truth. And the movie is Ronald Reagan. And this is one that all of you need to know. And Ronald Reagan was absolutely phenomenal. And as he wound up, we were on the verge of being destroyed. The communists have a plan to destroy America. The guy who came in and the finger in the dike that gave us a few more years was Ronald Reagan. Now we're communists. The socialists are communists. They're carrying out the perfect plan of communism to destroy America. And another president has come along, and he may be the basis for putting the finger in the dike and saving America for a few more years. Maybe yes, maybe no. But this movie is truth, fact, reality of the life of Ronald Reagan. Fantastic. And you'll be surprised. It's presented from the standpoint of a Russian spy, KGB. A KGB Russian spy who was in America. Fantastic. There, see, I was going to kind of wait off until then, but there you go. Now you got it. So therefore, today in the church age, for the client nation to God to have peace, it must have the greatest and prepared, trained military in the world. So the miracle Messiah is Pele Yoetz, Wonder Counselor, Miracle Counselor, El Gavor, Mighty Omnipotent God, Avi Av, Eternal Father, Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. Merry Christmas. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.